share with you this morning something that is very dear to my heart. I'm only telling you what I need myself. So this is something that I'm thinking on, praying on, living on, and I want to share it with you guys. I want to be super practical today. I'm not going to play church with you guys. Just sharing honest stuff. So the title of my message is Living on Full, Living on Full. And if we look at Ephesians 1, 16 to 18, I'm going to read that to you real quick, and then we'll pray. And this is Paul the Apostle speaking. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, that's Jesus, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Lord, we undeniably encountered you today, Lord. Maybe some of us in greater measure, some of us maybe it was a little bit more faint. Lord, but we recognize today, Lord, there is nothing greater than you, Lord. All will pass away, all will cease, but you remain, Lord. And God, this is our opportunity, this is our window, here while we are alive and breathing on earth, Lord. You have given us the greatest privilege there is, to come to know you. Jesus, we ask you, Holy Spirit, we ask you, Father, we ask you, bear witness to your truth, Lord. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you awaken, Lord, the tired, weary, sometimes empty souls, Lord? Awake them, Lord, with the light of your truth, of your love, of your gospel. Stir our hearts to excitement, Lord God, and fill us again, Lord, with joy, Lord. We thank you for that. Speak to us, and I pray, help me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. I want to talk to you guys practically about living spiritually full, or if you want to call it running full, or running on full, and or near full. And I think this is about devotional life. And we know our devotional life is about prayer, is about Bible reading, but I think this is a little bit different. I think this is more about abiding. And abiding becomes the fuel for our prayer, for our Bible reading. And abiding is not something that we talk about as often because, you know, prayer is straightforward. You just kind of, I think a lot of us can feel a little bit like we grit our teeth to go pray. Bible reading can get a little dry. It feels like it could be work sometimes. That's why I think abiding is so important, because abiding becomes the fuel that helps you get into real prayer and intercession and actually have a connection and make a difference and get into the scriptures and actually have it come alive, have it light up. And because I think hopefully all of you have learned by now, apart from this connection to Jesus and a real connection to his word, we are not really, there is just not that life in us. The Bible says that. The life is not in you. It's just not in us, in Christ. But how do we access that? And that's what I want to talk to you guys about. So there is a saying, you might have heard it sometimes. Somebody says, you know, I'm running on empty, while they're driving a car or vehicle of any sort. I'm running on empty. It just basically means my tank is getting empty. And basically, I got to go fuel up before I run out. Because sometimes you don't know, right? Sometimes you don't know how much you have left. So for us, you know, Natasha and I, we were students for a long period of time. So there was a time where we were just low on funds and we didn't have a lot of money to live on. And so we had a car and we needed to use it to do all kinds of different things. So we would actually kind of only have 10 bucks, sometimes even $5. Like that was all we had to fill up the car a little bit. So we would usually run on empty. We would run near empty. And actually it turns out that it's really bad for your tank because the fuel pump, I'm not gonna bore you guys with mechanical details, but it's bad for your car. It's not good. But a lot of Christians live like that. They don't know where the joy and excitement went, and they don't really know how to find it or where to look, or when they know maybe where in the area it might be, how to really access it. And that's what we read about in Ephesians chapter 1. And so that's why it's really important. That's what I want to talk about today. And there is a difference between getting tired and running empty. All right, we all get tired from doing the right work, right? And I actually believe God gives us grace That's from his presence. And a lot of, we know at least we're gonna find that energy, that strength right here at church. We're gonna find that energy and strength when we actually are able to enter in and worship. We find that energy and strength when the preacher is really, you know, he prayed up, when he heard from God, when he knows what he's talking about, when he's up there, when he's not fumbling with his iPad and all that stuff. And then we're able to get that connection and get that fullness. But it's not enough. I don't know about you guys, but very often I'll have that great breakthrough in service, and then I go right into Monday. Maybe on Monday I'm still lingering. On Tuesday, I'm running close to empty. Right, that's the average person. But even for me, I'm in ministry. I'm a young adult director. You know, I have a wife and children to take care of and to pray for and encourage. I got myself to take care of, and I got a deep well here. There's a lot I got to fill up in myself. The young adults, the ministry, so much to take care of. But I find myself, I can have a great breakthrough in the morning with the Lord and a great connection. But by the end of the day, I'm just spent and I'm tired. But what I want to talk to you guys about today is a little bit different than just getting tired. I want to talk to you guys about the danger of running out. And when you run out, when you don't get to refuel, right? And sometimes the schedule can get ahead of us. Sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes we just simply get lost in our good motives, in wanting to do so many different right things, and we actually just... it kind of all blends in, and we've discerned that door, that where the access to our strength. So I want to talk about three things: how we get empty, all right? How we get empty. Number two, we can't afford to live near empty. And number three, living near full. You got to stay always near full, right? Just like Natasha and I at one point, a lot of Christians, we're just... we feel like it's okay to be near empty as long as we just keep getting that little bit and keep going. It's not. It's a dangerous place. Instead, let's get full. Let's find access to where that excitement lives, that joy with Jesus, and let's stay there. And that's important because that's where we begin to thrive and to do really well in our walks with Jesus. So point number one, how we get empty. What is our fuel, right? So Ephesians chapter 2, so immediately following the verses I read to you, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, it's one of my favorite passages in Scripture. I want to read it to you, and I'll read it real quick. And you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's devil himself, the spirit that is now at work, and the sons and daughters of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you were saved. But God, that is, I think, the trigger. That is the beginning where we start to realize that is the joy. It's actually the gospel. Our fuel, what gets us exciting, is that contrast. Realizing, wait a minute, I was dead, I was dying, I was rotting. A lot of us actually, maybe we never reached that place of being fully empty, so we never got that full contrast. Don't worry, it'll come. You'll reach rock bottom, and then you'll really need the gospel. And the gospel will be there. And I think that when we get low on that fuel is when we start to realize that our only strength, our only power, is that we stay close to that one that pulled us out. Let me ask you this question. If we were dead without him, in our sins, left to our own devices, left to our own methods, left to basically doing things our way, we died, we got stuck, we got enslaved by the prince of the power of the air who just dominated us, who took advantage of us, who coerced us easily into living for him and doing his bidding. If that's where we were stuck, and the Bible says we were dead, and we were dead, Apart from Jesus, trust me, you're dead. And then he showed up in our lives. We didn't choose him, he chose us. We didn't run to him for help. No, he came to us from help all the way from heaven, all the way into our mess. He comes to meet us there, not with a 6-foot pole, not with some kind of methods. He himself came to us in our darkness. Now that is the key. That is the place. Now, let me ask you this question. If you start to distance yourself from that place of being excited, of realizing what it was that got me out, what starts to happen? Well, I believe you go back to being dead. Now, I don't know about you, but I was really dead. I was really rotten. I know I can't go back there. I have a wife and kids now. I have friends that I want to be a blessing to. There is a ministry that we are part of. Just you, church. I have stuff to live for. I can't afford to go back to where I was, to being dead. I want to talk to you guys about our fuel. And so in Luke 11, 34, and we'll stay here just for a little while. Let me read these couple of verses to you. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest your light in you be darkness. This verse used to actually confuse me for many years. Even though I heard preachers explain it, I just never got it. But then it's actually really simple. Your eye is the lamp. Lamps in those days were not the kind that you put a bulb in and you plug into the wall. They were a container. It was a little, you know, you want to call it a vase, a jar, just a little, and ultimately container. And you have to put some fuel in it, and then you light it, and then as long as there's fuel there, it's lit, right? So your eye is the lamp of your heart. I think your eye here is talking about your heart. Your heart, your soul, whatever you are a container, and whatever you're full of, that's what you are lit of. That's what you're lit up with. Whatever you're full of, that is your light that you're walking in. I want to make a quick point. If you're full of light, right, then you can radiate. But if you don't have light, sometimes the darkness is described as the void, right, having not any light. But darkness is a real substance too. Have you guys experienced darkness? Have you experienced terror? Terror is felt. It's real. It's palpable. Have you been in that most when you were panicked under some kind of circumstance? Maybe your loved one was in real danger, or maybe you were in danger. That's darkness. That fear, that's real. So I believe what this verse is really telling us is you are going to be full of one thing or another, and you better be careful that what you're full of is light. Otherwise, great is your darkness. Now it says here, when your eye is healthy, your body is full of light. That word healthy means clear, single, undivided. Literally, it means without folds. I think what it means is, and this is where it really becomes practical for us. I think we come to church, I think we go to scripture, I think we go to prayer, and we get just a little bit. But then all of these other trials and troubles and worries, legitimate stuff, starts to come in and mix. And that really, it says here, if your eye is single, is if your eye is clear, if your eye is healthy, if your container, your soul, your lamp, if it has the pure oil, you're good, because you're gonna see. You're gonna see the hidden path. You're gonna see where the provision that you can't do without is. You're gonna know clearly and simply how to just go get the goods. In the verses that we opened with, it says, Paul says that your eyes of your heart be enlightened that you would know the hope of your calling and the inheritance of the saints. The hope of your calling, the expectation of what you were invited to, what you can expect because God is faithful. It's never his fault. It's always something that we're not doing right. So you were called to, but you need light. Let your eye of your heart be enlightened. So how do we see? Well, if you're full of pure light, of pure, full on Jesus, and careful lest your eye, let the light in you be darkness. Number two, we can be depleted or running low, or we can be empty. And I think this is a matter of resting right or resting wrong. I think it's only natural that that we run low. But when we run low, if we know where to fuel up and know how to do it right, we just go and refill. But a lot of times when we run low, we don't fuel up. And let me just pause here for a quick second. When we're tired from work, what do? Right? I mean, I already did my devos this morning. I already read my Bible. Maybe I listened to a good podcast on the way to work. I'm just spent. And what do we fill up on? We go and we watch Netflix. We check the news. We just lay around. We do things that are not. And I don't think it's wrong to do those things. But if you're empty and you fill up on that wrong stuff, whatever's already in your system that's running low, it starts to get mixed up. And then all of a sudden, it's not so clear, and you start to get confused. And all of a sudden, if there is some kind of alarm, if you're running low, if you realize that you forgot to do something for the ministry, if you forgot to do something for your family, and all of a sudden, your attention span, the fuel that you're running on, it's divided. Your soul is divided. And so there is a really good passage right here near what I read in Luke to you, in Luke 10 at the very end. It's about Martha and Mary, and it's a famous passage, and it says here in Luke 10, 38, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus and the disciples, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving." Jesus was invited to the house. Martha, actually, it says Martha, she might have been the older sister, might have been in charge of the house. She invited Jesus to the house, so she got the right substance. She got Jesus in the house, but what was Martha doing? Martha was troubled, she was anxious, she was running about, worried about a lot of different things, all important things. Is it a sin to serve? Is it a sin to feed your guest? Is it a sin to take care of your host? I don't think so. But it says that she was not sitting at his feet, right? She was no longer excited. And this is how you know you're running low. That Jesus is in your house, but you're not at his feet. You're no longer excited to be at his feet. And you're starting to replace that most needed rest, that fuel, with other good things. It's not wrong to watch Netflix, as long as it's clean, right? It's not wrong to hang out, read a book. It doesn't have to be spiritual. I think this is where a lot of us go wrong. I think when we're running empty, we start to realize it, and we start to get that ache of the soul. And I don't know about you, but to me, my tendency is when I get low, is either I get super legal, licentious, where I can just do whatever, or I get super legalistic, either extreme. And when I'm running low and I start to panic, I start to fill up on serving, on doing, on religion. I got to read all these books. I got to understand all these things. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And that is to go back and to connect to the gospel, to receive again from him the things that you could never do for yourself before. You were dead in your sins, but he came to you and gave you what you could not find for yourself. Amen? And so when we're tired and running low, we just need to reset. We need to do that one thing, go right to his feet, rest, fuel up. You don't have to do it for hours again, but just have that point, realize whose you are, where you're going, being excited about Jesus, being excited about what he's doing for you, who he's made you to be, and where you're heading, and that is your fuel. Number two, we can't afford to live near empty. How do we know we're running near empty? Luke 10, 40. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." The word distracted, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are distracted, you are anxious, and you are troubled. In the Greek, in the original language, it's so important to sometimes get what the words actually mean, because the English words just get just a little bit of the definition. But the word distracted actually means greatly troubled by serving. Lost your orientation. Lost your bearings. You are just completely pulled to pieces. This is what the word anxious means. The word anxious means you are in pieces. You are spread to pieces, and you no longer have the rest of your capacity. You no longer have the rest of your abilities. You don't have access any longer to what is actually yours. And you know that you're running low when you are telling God what to do. You're telling another people that you feel like you're serving alone, and you want God to fix it. Right there in Luke 11, there is another really interesting passage. So I read to you guys from Ephesians to start up, and we're going to close back in Ephesians. And then I'm reading now to you from Luke 10 and 11, and it's really, really interesting. Jesus talks about prayer. He talks about demons. He talks about perseverance. And then he gives a serious warning. He ends in Luke 11 with a serious warnings to the religious, to Pharisees and scribes. And those are the woes. And he starts to make pronouncements over the religious. But I see this as bookends. At the end of chapter 10 in Luke, Jesus is talking to the honest believer. To the believer who, and I think Mary and Martha is really one person ultimately. Sometimes we know to sit at the feet of Jesus, and sometimes we know what the right thing to do and be connected and get fueled up and refilled. And sometimes we just lose sight of it, and we have lost that strength, and we are all kinds divided. So I think that's the beginning, the honest Christian. But I think the other bookend is the serious warning that if you don't learn to access that spiritual fuel, then you're gonna end up like the Pharisees. And right there in the middle, there are these two passages, one of them which I read to you about the lamp, about the eyes of the heart and us being a container and what's inside. And the second, I think, is even a little bit more troublesome, more scary for us. Luke 11:24, really serious warning. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. Not finding none, and finding none, it says, I will return to make my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept, put in order, and empty. And then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Finding the house empty and put in order. When we have that connection, that rest, that excitement, that fuel, when God visits us, and again, it's a gift. It's a gift. We're not like Moses to have to climb the mountain. It's abiding is receiving. Intercession, yes, it's fighting, it's warring. Seeking the face of God is waiting. It's seeking God's face, and you're not able to find. It's diligently waiting on that. But abiding is different. Abiding is there is a feast waiting. Come back to the gospel and receive again. Now, if we find ourselves distanced from that, getting away from that, and getting more and more empty, and I said to you, there is no such thing as us just staying empty and vacant. We are either full with light, or we are beginning to be mixed, and then which only, if we mix on things that don't really satisfy, right? If when we're tired, and we just say, you know what? I don't know about Jesus. It's too much work. I don't want to wait on him. I don't want to remember the gospel. I just think it's all too much. Let me just go and relax with the Netflix. Eventually, heavy duty stuff starts to come back. Eventually, those things of the past, right? It says there were unclean spirits in us before that made us dead. Then Jesus came in and we had that encounter with the gospel, and he cleansed our soul. He set our soul in order and in peace. And he filled us with order, which gives us peace. But then as we start to get low and empty, eventually the devil sees the opportunity Those old practices, see, there is no devotion here. There is nothing that this person is living for. He's not excited about anything. They're just empty. And the house is ready. There's nobody on guard, nobody occupied there. People live in houses. Relationships aren't houses. When you have a family that is thriving, somebody, a stranger comes to the door, everybody's alert. Everybody, there's eyes that are watching, and everybody can say, hey, there is potential threat here. Let's hold the fort down. But when the relationship is no longer excited, when the relationship is not fueled and thriving, we get low and the enemy finds his opportunity. But I don't think, even if the enemy comes back, I don't think that we're lost and hopeless. And I think a lot of us, we can get to that place. We lose our way, and that's actually the word sin or trespass in the Bible. One of the definitions for that is to lapse. To lapse. And in New York City, I come from an addiction. In a city, a lot of Christians come from an addiction background. I don't know, maybe in Pennsylvania it's a little bit different. Maybe it's not. But I know that some of the scariest stuff for me is I know when I'm getting low, that lapse is going to come. And it will, for sure. Right? But if it does, that is why we have the Redeemer. That is why we have the gospel. The word redeemer means the one that redeemed us, bought us from the one that had rights to us, and he put distance between us and that thing. And he fills that distance. He is that light. He is that one. That is why we can't lose sight of Jesus. We can't lose sight of that. And so we're not meant to be empty in our old ways. They can't help but creep back in and also become worse. But we still have a hope, even if that happens. We go back and we reach for the gospel and we start abiding, and the gospel applies to us still. But also that wrong fuel will only make us more empty and get us closer to that lapse. Now I just want to end with this. I want to talk about living near full. As I said a little early, in reality, there's no such thing as just being empty. We are either full of light or we start to fill up on darkness. And I want to just end with these couple thoughts. In John 15, that is the classical place where Jesus began to teach us about abiding. And there's three things that he mentions. He says, if you abide in me, if you want to find me quickly, if you want to be with me, simply receive. Simply receive me. And there are three ways that he says to do that. He says, abide in my word, abide in my love, and get full of my joy, that your joy may be full. And so this is what I want to help you practically with as we close. And I'm going to close with the passage that we opened with. When we start to get empty, we got to go back and fill up with Jesus. But there is a better way. Because then really at that point, we're just living near empty. Just get a little more to go on. But the better way, the right way, is to establish a healthy pattern of living every day, where at the beginning of your day, you put that thing first, right? And what Jesus began to speak to Mary then, to Martha about Mary, is he said, Mary chose the one part, the better part, and it will not be taken from her. And that one part actually means the little. That's what that word there, one, means. It says little, small, the thing that is seemingly insignificant or even short. And I think a lot of times we think that if we are to live for God, all day long we got to be prayed up, all day long we got to be in the Bible, all day long we got to be working for God, and that's not true. When you fall in love with somebody that you're going to marry for the rest, and you're going to live with them for the rest of your life, all of a sudden that moment, when you fall in love, you start to realize out of that new relationship, everything starts to touch right there. When you are in love, you all of a sudden you think about your work different, because you think of your future career and work based on like, well, how is it going to work with this person?
When you think about your finances, you're not just thinking about how you're gonna go about and providing, you're thinking about, no, how can we work together with this relationship, with this person, about your appearance, and all of a sudden you're not acting like you're single, right? Trying to draw attention to yourself and find somebody. You already have somebody. How do I look based on this relationship? And so Jesus said to Martha, who lost her way doing good things, says one thing is needed. And I know you have to serve, and you'll get back to serving, don't worry. I know you're worried about your kids and you're stressed out about their future. Don't worry, I'll show you what to do. I know you got a job to do, and I know you gotta learn how to do it well. You gotta learn your disciplines. I know, and I will help you. But to get all that stuff done right, I will help you. Get this small thing done first. Don't seek me when you're in trouble. When you're in trouble, everything's a crisis. When you're low, everything seems like a crisis. No, build your life and start it right. And first thing, I think it's not legalistic. You can seek God in the evening if you're an evening person, or in the morning if you're a morning person. But I used to be an evening person, but I had to learn to become a morning person because I just needed to seek God first and have that set the rest of the tone of my day. But I wanna just end on this, and we're gonna close with the passage in Ephesians that we opened with. If you wanna find Jesus when you've lost him, you just simply come and you receive what he gives freely. And that is the gospel. Abide in his words, that you are his. And I'm gonna read to you the words ultimately that represent the gospel. Abide in the gospel, and his word is about the gospel. That he's for you, that you couldn't save yourself, that you need him, and he came. And in fact, when we start to lose him, it's a good reminder just how quickly we go back to our old ways, just how empty we get without him, and how troubled we get and anxious and split up, and how we can't do a single thing, and we gotta get back to the love of our lives that makes everything else prosper in our lives. And so I wanna read to you about that, those words of gospel word that we are to abide or live in, dwell in, the words about his love and the joy, God's joy that is ultimately our joy. Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope or the confidence or the expectation to which he has called you or invited you to. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised us from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in the age, in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet. That is, God put all things under Jesus's feet and gave him as head over all things to us, the church. It's already been done. Which we are, the church, his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And just as we close, I want to ask you to stand. And I ask you to close your eyes just for a moment. If we start living in that place of running near empty, that's basically for us, we're almost there. And if we think that it's okay and we become content and we just say, you know what, it's too hard. God doesn't really want to talk to me. God is not breaking through to me. He's not revealing himself to me. You just start living content. That is not your place. That is not what you've been called to. That is a place of powerlessness with God. But today, right now, I want to remind you with the power of that gospel that God has already come. He has already come to you. And if you feel low today, you realize, just remember this good news. He has already come to you. He is near to you. Just receive. receive, and early in the morning tomorrow, and every single day, as much as you are able to make time for it, you get in and you start to receive it again. Receive God again. So I just want you, if you've been living in that place, or if you're empty now, I want you and I to pray together now and make that commitment. Lord, I will not be in that place, and I will not stay there in that place. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everything you've done for me. You loved me when I was unlovely. You came to help me when I was helpless. You fought for me then, and you always fight for me now. Lord Jesus, there's nothing I can do to earn this, and my striving only separates me. It only empties me. Jesus, so right now, Lord God, I remember your great love for me. I remember your great calling for me. Lord, help me, Lord. Help me to live full. Help me to be excited. Help me to know, Lord God, that it's by this joy that is ours in Jesus that we are all of a sudden helped and able to do the impossible. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.